this morning. We're coming to the very last sermon in our series, What is a Christian? Last week we began to think about this. A Christian is a priest. In Old Testament times, God chose just the men, just from one family, out of the whole nation of Israel, to be priests. All the priests had to be descended from Aaron. But now, in New Testament times, every single person who trusts the Lord Jesus is a priest. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a new Christian or someone who's been a Christian many years. It doesn't matter if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. If you've come as a sinner to Jesus, if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus, you are now one of God's priests. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, you also are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Verse 9, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. With your blood you purchase men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So all those whom Jesus has bought with his blood are priests of God today. Now you know that in some denominations, the word priest is used just for the leaders. In Roman Catholic churches, and in a lot of Church of England parishes, they don't talk about the minister or the pastor, they talk about the priest. And some churches have one priest. If they're lucky, if it's a big parish with lots of money, they may have two or three priests. But we have dozens of priests. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you are a priest. Now, it's very important to emphasize that. I mean, some people would say, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? What we call our church leaders, we talk about pastors in this church, other people talk about priests. What's the difference? It's just a matter of words, isn't it? But it's not just a matter of words. You see, the most important thing about a priest, we saw this last week, is that the priest is allowed to come near to God himself. You remember in the temple in Old Testament times, the priests, but nobody else, were allowed to go into the inner room, into the holy place. Only they were allowed to come near to God and worship God directly. Everybody else was kept at a distance. Everybody else was banned from that holy place. God, in Old Testament times, would only have dealings directly with the priests. If other people wanted to worship God, well, they had to do it through a priest. If God were punishing you for some sin, you couldn't get God's forgiveness directly. You had to go to a priest, and he'd offer sacrifice on your behalf. You couldn't offer a sacrifice yourself to God. You had to bring it to the priest, and then the priest would do it for you. If you had become defiled in some way, so that you were unclean in God's sight, there was only one way of getting rid of the uncleanness. You had to go to a priest. Only a priest could take away your uncleanness and say, you're now fit to worship God again. If you needed special guidance to know what to do, you couldn't expect God to show you directly. You had to go to the priests. And the priests would consult God on your behalf. The priests had that go-between role between ordinary Israelites and God. They were the channels of blessing. Any blessing that God had to give to the Israelites was expected to come through the priests. And the awful thing is this, that there are those denominations today which teach that it's still like that. They say that you still need a special group of priests. In those Roman Catholic churches, in those High Anglican churches, they still say that ordinary people can't go to God directly. Ordinary people can't confess their sins direct to God and know that they're forgiven. They've got to go to the priest in the confessional. And they've got to confess their sins to the priest. And they've got to do whatever penance the priest prescribes for them. And they've got to hear the priest say that their sins are forgiven. They say that to have true worship, you need the sacrifice of the Mass. And only a priest can consecrate the bread and wine so that the Mass can be held. So without the priest, ordinary Christians can't worship. When a person's dying, they can't just commit their soul to God through Jesus Christ and know that they're safe. They need to have a priest to come to them and to give them the last rites. Otherwise, their soul isn't safe. Do you see, when these denominations call their leaders priests, they mean it. They mean that ordinary Christians can't come direct to God to get all his blessings. They say that we still need priests to be the channels of blessing. We can only come to God through the priests. And it's not true. We have one great priest. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to be our priest. And he has offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. And he's promised forgiveness to all who trust themselves to him directly. And he's opened the way for all his people to come directly to God. And to confess their sins directly, and to pray directly, and to have direct dealings with God. In other words, Jesus Christ has given to all his people the blessings that once belonged just to a few priests. Through him we are all priests now, if we trust him. You must never think of the leaders of the church as priests in some special way. We're not, we're just leaders, we're teachers. But you don't need us in order to, you don't need us to open the way to God for you. You yourselves must come to God directly through the Lord Jesus. If you've fallen into some sin, you don't need to confess your sin to me or to David in order to find forgiveness and peace. Maybe that you want practical advice about how to clear up some of the problems that your sin has caused. And if we can give you advice, we will. But you could get that advice equally from someone else. If you're struggling in your spiritual life, we've not got some special grace to pass on to you. Yes, we'll pray for you, but you don't need us to do that. You
can pray directly for yourself through the Lord Jesus. And if you want others to be praying for you, there's no reason why it has to be the pastor. The pastor's prayers don't have some special power, you know. Or rather, his prayers do have some special power, but so do the prayers of every believer. We are all priests. Now, isn't that a tremendously liberating truth? You know, some of you know that on my mother's side, my family came from a staunchly Roman Catholic community down in South Wales. And I can tell you that everybody in that community was scared stiff of a priest. He'd come round each Friday to collect his contribution to each home. And nobody dared say to the priest, "Well, look, I'm sorry, we can't afford it this week." Now, half that community was unemployed. But even if it meant pouring the shoes off the kids' feet, even if it meant having no bread on the table, the priest had to have his sixpence. Everybody trembled before him. Now, why was that? Well, because he had such power. They really believed that it was up to him whether God accepted them or not. They really believed that he was the only one who could forgive their sins. They really believed that he was the only one who had the power to pray for them when problems came. They really believed that if their babies died without him baptizing them, their babies were lost. They really believed that if they were dying, only the priest could give them peace and get them ready for heaven. Everything depended on the priest. But it's not true. You have one great high priest in heaven who loves you and has paid for your sins. And he has made you into a priest yourself. So that you, with Christ, through Christ, can come to God directly. Oh, by all means, look to other Christians for support and encouragement and help. But always go to God directly, with the Lord Jesus. Let the great high priest take you by the hand and say, "Come on, you're a priest too. You're allowed to come near to God now." Don't live a second-hand Christian life, depending on others to somehow be the channel for blessing for you. Jesus has opened the way for you personally to know God. Talk to God about everything before you talk to anyone else about it. Tell him about all your sins. Tell him about all your struggles. Tell him about all your fears. Believe that God welcomes you into his presence. Believe that God wants you there. Believe that he listens to you personally because you're a priest. Let me just remind you of one Old Testament passage to illustrate the point I'm making. I'm thinking of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah. And you know the story. She's this poor, wretched woman. She's childless in a society where childlessness is a great disgrace. And her husband has got a second wife, who has given birth to a number of children. And this other woman then, this second wife, Penina, makes Hannah's life wretched, and laughing at her, sneering at her. And this goes on year after year. And Hannah sinks into a deeper and deeper depression. And she gets more and more desperate. She reaches the stage where she can't eat. Her husband tries to cheer her up. He'd say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted?" He tries to encourage her. He says, "Look, I don't come to love you as you are." And it doesn't help her. She's just sinking into a pit of depression from which there's no escape. Well, she prays. And they go to the tabernacle in Shiloh, and everybody else is eating their meal together. And Hannah just doesn't want to be with them. She doesn't want to see other people's children. And she doesn't want to be with all these people who are so fearful. And she's just breaking her heart, and she rushes out. And she goes out to the door of the Lord's temple. And then we read this. It's in 1 Samuel 1:10, in bitterness of soul. Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant but give him a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. He just repeats the same words over and over and over again. She keeps trying to make this bargain with God. She keeps trying somehow to get through to God. She keeps on repeating it over and over. And meanwhile, you are the priest who's watching her. And it's praying in her heart. And her lips are moving, but her voice wasn't heard. And you are the priest talking drunk. And said to her, how long will you carry on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who keeps in trouble. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli the priest answered, go and may the God of Israel grant you what you ask of him. Priest speaks. The priest pronounces his blessing over Hannah. He speaks as God's representative, as the appointed channel of blessing. May the God of Israel grant you what you ask. Hannah said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. You know now my prayer is going to be granted, because the priest has prayed on my behalf. My own prayer, well, there was no guarantee my prayer would get through to God. But now that the priest has prayed for me, now that the priest has pronounced his blessing, well, now God is certain to bless me. Do you see? Hannah couldn't bring herself to believe that God would hear her prayers. Inside herself, she really felt that her tears, her cries, they were all in vain. She didn't really believe that God could listen to someone like her. It was only when a priest said, may your prayers be answered, that Hannah could get any peace of mind, any assurance. That's because Hannah was an Old Testament believer. She felt that she couldn't get through to God without a priest to help her. But you're not an Old Testament believer. You can do what Hannah couldn't. You can go to God directly and know that he listens to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great priest, has said once and for all, may God grant you everything you ask. And God has given you all the privileges and all the rights of a priest. Right now, today, you can go to God yourself with all your struggles and problems, and you can say, God will listen to me today because the Lord Jesus has made me one of his priests. You don't have to live like Hannah, going on year after year, carrying a great burden, and hoping that one day you'll find a priest who'll pray for you in a way you can't pray for yourself. God will hear you today. If you call on him, you're one of his priests. You're allowed to come into his holy place. In fact, you're allowed to come into the most holy place. If you talk to God from your heart, then your prayers will be as powerful before God as the prayers of the holiest Christian on earth. Your prayers are as powerful to reach God's heart as the prayers of the most remarkable Christian leader now living on earth. Because you are a priest coming to God along with the great high priest. So it's a great privilege to be a New Testament believer, to be a priest of God. But we've got to add this. It's also a great responsibility. You see, in Old Testament times, when there were just a few priests, everyone else could say, they're responsible for the spiritual life of this town, this tribe, this community. Basically, we can leave everything with them because it's all their responsibility. Those priests, they're the ones who have to make sure that God is truly worshipped. They offer the sacrifices for us. They do the praying for us. Everything depends on them. So if there was a meeting in the temple and people came to worship God, it was all down to the priests, whether God was worshipped properly or not. They were the ones who had to make it work. The priests did their bit, and everybody else was really just a spectator. And again, lots of people, even in true churches, still think in that way. They think that in the church, everything depends on the leaders, on the pastor, as if the pastor were the only priest, as if he were the only channel of blessing between God and the church. So, church meets for worship on the Lord's Day morning. Now, if the pastor didn't turn up, well, there would be something wrong, wouldn't there? Because we all depend on him. We need the pastor here to be blessed in the service. But if this so-and-so, or this so-and-so doesn't turn up, well, that doesn't matter, does it? Because the church can still be blessed without them there. That really is the way people think. But the pastor is indispensable in order to get God's blessing. But other people, well, it won't really make any difference whether they're there or not. But if you are all priests, then you are all equally important. You are all indispensable for the worship of God. If any one of you is missing, then the worship is damaged. You're all supposed to be the channels through which God blesses the church. The pastor happens to be the one who stands at the front in a particular meeting. And hopefully God uses him to channel blessing into the church. But it's not just him. You're sitting there. And all through the service, we're praying. Oh God, help Stephen preach now. Please send your spirit on him and on us all now. And because you're a priest, God hears you. And he doesn't. And suddenly the preaching takes on new authority. And everybody knows that God has come. But it's not because the preacher has done anything different. It's because God has chosen you on this occasion to be the priest whose prayers bring the blessing. And it could be any one of you that God picks on to use in that way on that occasion. sin in the earth by your sin. By your hand, then, God speaks to you through the hymn. There's something in the hymn that suddenly hits you because the Holy Spirit applies it to you. And I think it's wonderful. We find you're thrilled. And you carry on singing. But though you don't know it, your face has just lit up. And somehow your singing is different. And God then uses your singing to channel blessing to everyone else in that congregation. You know, just as God can give mysterious power to a preacher so that their words can move everyone else, God can give mysterious power to your singing. The people around you, you know, just the people to inside and people behind you in front of you, they hear you sing. And they know that somehow it's different. Your parochial voice is just the same, you're still out of tune. But they still hear something different. They know that you're truly worshipping God. They can hear the fact that you're thrilled by the words that you're singing. And so they start really looking at the words. And they find that God is speaking to them through the words now. And suddenly the whole congregation is halfway to heaven as God's blessing comes down upon the singing. But it starts with one person. One priest whom God chooses to be the channel of that blessing in that service. And it could be you. You've got a child sitting next to you in service, not your child. It's somebody else's child, but they've got three children and they're trying to keep charge of the other two. And you can see that this child sitting next to you isn't really listening. But you want to help them. So you help them to find the passages in the Bible that the preacher mentions. And you point out the words in the passage that the preacher's talking about. And God uses you as a channel of blessing. Because you're a priest, God uses you as the link between that unconverted child and himself. And that child is suddenly hit by the words that you're pointing out on the page. And that child is converted there and then in that service. Because God is using you as his priest. No one has been helped in any special way. The final hymn has been sung, and it's a good hymn, but none of us have been specially helped through it. And then the preacher, you say as well, and if that's done, or Carl, or Martin, or Rob, or whoever, to pray for us now. And they do. And this is the moment that God has been waiting for. A man who's going to pray stands here at the front door in the congregation. And he says silently, "Oh God, help me. I still don't want to pray." And God does. God sends his Holy Spirit down on that man in a way that he's not there on the picture. And God helps that man to think clearly about what's been said in the film, and how it applies to us, and what we need. And that man prays, and he prays with great authority. And everybody thinks, yes, that's what I need. I can really, I must say amen to that prayer. If they find his expression, the unspoken longings of all of our hearts. And people go away from the service saying, "Well, actually, I got a lot more out of God's closing prayer than I did out of Stephen preaching." And that's fine.
It's on that occasion God planned that Jeff should be the priest whose prayers would bring a blessing to all the worshippers. You see, God's blessing on a service doesn't depend on one person, the pastor. It depends on all the worshippers. It depends on all the priests. It depends on you singing from the heart. It depends on you praying. It depends on you listening intently. Because that's an infectious thing. When one person sits there, when you're listening, the people sitting next to them, it's a strange phenomenon. Start paying attention to you. They think something's happening here. It depends on you encouraging the
on you seeking God and wanting God to come to us. It's not all down to the pastor. I talked about William Grimshaw and what a powerful preacher he was, but as I also said, I really don't believe it was down to him. It was down to every believer who called upon God in that situation. You know, every church will go through dry patches when the services seem hard and everybody struggles and people go away saying, well, I didn't really get anything out of that. And it's like that, not just one week, but week after week, month after month. Oh, I didn't really get anything this morning. And do you know what the first suggestion is that's usually made? Get a new pastor. Change the pastor. It's his problem, it must be. If he were doing his job properly, we would be feeling the blessing. And we're not being blessed through him. But it isn't the pastor. Or at least it isn't only the pastor who brings the blessing. It's all the believers. They are all priests in that situation. Maybe the reason why the services feel dry is that you're not there in the prayer meeting praying for the services. Maybe it's that you're not really trying to sing and asking for God's help in singing. Maybe it's that you're not dealing with your sins, and so you can't be a channel of blessing to other people. Maybe you're the blocked channel in a particular situation. And it's not just individual meetings either. You know, sometimes decline sets into the whole life of a church. And the church seems to lose all effectiveness. And it struggles in its worship and in its outreach in every way. And numbers go down and everyone feels that the life of the church is ebbing away. And again, what's usually the first reaction? Nowadays, actually, the first reaction is change the hymn book. But the second is, change the pastor. It's time we looked for a new pastor. As if the church were a football club that's not getting results. And the only thing you need to do is find a new manager. And what they're really saying is, if we had the right priest, God would be blessing the church. But you are the priests. If there's one Christian in a church who's not doing his or her priestly work, then the whole church will struggle. There are blessings which only you can bring to this church. God made you a priest so that you can be a channel of blessing. You are as needed as the elders or the Sunday school superintendent or anybody else. Every one of the priests is indispensable. You know, I think God has blessed this church in so many ways. But it's not because of the pastors or the elders. They're not the priests through whom God's blessing comes to this church, or at least they're not the only priests. God has blessed this church because of the people who sit in the services
and pray. And because of the people who visit others and give them support and encourage them. And because of the people who carry on working patiently in the Sunday school, who carry on preparing and praying and telling children the gospel. The blessings that have come to this church have come through everyone who works as a priest. You are the channels through which God's blessing flows into the church. And how much more God could bless the church if every member really saw it in that way. If every member said, I'm going to attend and I'm going to pray and I'm going to work as if God's blessing depended just upon me. As if I were the sole priest in this situation. Instead of saying, ah, I'm just a spectator. God's blessing depends on the preacher doing his job properly. You say, I'm the priest in this congregation. God's blessing depends on me doing the work he's given me to do. You can think of it this way. In Old Testament times, you had all of God's people, the Israelites. And they gathered together. And the priests offered sacrifices to God. And everybody else spectated. The priests did the work. The priests offered the sacrifices. And everybody else got the benefit. But it's not like that now, is it? Just think about these verses from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 verse 11. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. And then we read in verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The writer talks first about the sacrifice of Jesus once for all. He's the great high priest. He offered himself as our sin offering. He suffered outside the city gate. And that sacrifice was once for all. We don't bring sacrifices now to pay for our sins. We remember and we trust Jesus' sacrifice made once for all time. But then the writer goes on to say, there are sacrifices that we must bring. Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We offer our praise to God as a sacrifice. And who's got to do that? Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. All of us. Not now just a few priests offering sacrifices. The writer says we've all got to offer this sacrifice. If you never praise God in your own home, then you're robbing him of the sacrifice he asks for. If you're not there in the meetings of the church thanking God for his goodness, then you're holding back the sacrifice you owe him. If you are there, but you're not singing from the heart, or you're not thinking about what you're singing, or you're not giving thanks to God in your heart, then you're not giving him the sacrifice he longs for. We've all got to do this, says the writer. It's the responsibility of all of us to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's why I would never want us to have a choir or a music group in the church. They do the praising, we listen. No, God wants us all to be praising. He wants us all to show our gratitude for Jesus' sacrifice. He wants us all, as priests, to offer the sacrifice of praise. And then he talks about a second sort of sacrifice in verse 16. And don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. He's talking about the way Christians support one another, the way they help one another and encourage one another, the way especially they share with each other. He means they give one another practical help, financial help if needed. And he says God is pleased with that sort of sacrifice. And who's supposed to do it? Who's got to bring these sacrifices? The ministers? The elders? No, the writer talks to all Christians and says, you mustn't forget to do this. You can't leave it to other people. You're a priest, and this is the sacrifice God wants you to bring. Who has God appointed to visit that lonely believer? Or to help that family who need practical help? Who's been appointed as a priest to offer that sacrifice? You have. It's part of your job description. And you'll find the same idea in so many places in the New Testament. If we're all priests, we're all called to bring sacrifices to God. The work we do for the kingdom is a sacrifice. The money we give to help needy believers is a sacrifice. Every believer is a priest, and every believer is called to bring such sacrifices. It's all summed up in the verses that we read earlier in the service. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, all of you, in view of God's mercy, in view of the amazing things God has done for you, in view of Calvary, in view of the blood that poured down to pay for your sins, in view of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus endured for you, in view of the grace by which God saved you and has kept you, in view of all God's mercy, he says, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Your bodies are to be given to God in sacrifice. Start this morning with your lips and sing his praises. And then walk out of here with your feet and go to the places where God wants you to be. And then all through this week, use your hands and your arms and your ears and your eyes for one purpose: to serve the living God. You're a priest, and this is your sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship. It starts here in the meetings, where you use your eyes and your ears and your hands and your lips to worship God. And then it continues all through the week and all through your life. You're a priest. It's an amazing thing God has done. Once you were a dirty dog, outside the camp, cut off from God. But now you're one of those holy priests who's allowed to walk into the very presence of God and serve him there and offer him sacrifices. And the sacrifice he most wants from you is yourself. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Well, may God help us to put these things into practice for Jesus' sake.